It's important to be very mindful of the addictions that can be attached to abundance.
Yes.
And prosperity and wealth. And this is something that could potentially come through for many people in 2024 is the eight's a mirror. So it will mirror if we have addictions, and addictions can show up in a variety of different ways.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate and inspire women in their power, in their authenticity, and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage. And, you know, we're still really early into 2024, aren't we? Even though we're getting close to the end of January at the time that this was recorded. So much of the year ahead of us. And it's always one of those things we want to know, right? We want to know what does this year bring? What is it bringing to us? And I feel like this year is really powerful and potent. We're going to learn a little bit today about 2024. We're going to learn the art of numerology. We're going to hear about numerology and the numerology of 2024 from our wonderful host, Anne Marie. Anne Marie is a soulful biz strategist. She empowers soulpreneurs to align with their purpose, amplify their power, and activate prosperity. She's also a certified advanced numerology queen, only bringing the best to the show. Anne Marie, thank you so much for being here.
Alara, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I appreciate you and this conscious conversation and for all the hearts that we can connect with today.
Yay. So just very briefly, just to set the stage, in case somebody isn't really clear, what is numerology?
Numerology is rooted in mathematics and science. That's why I love this ancient wisdom, because it's been around, you know, for a little while. And it's very simple. It's learning the energetics of numbers and decoding the patterns of numbers. There is collective energy, and then there's our own individual energy. So today we're going to be focusing on the collective energy that all of us will be experiencing in 2024. So it's very simple. We are looking at numbers basically from 1 to 9. That's the manifestation cycle, especially when we're talking about universal year energy. And of course, there's other numbers in numerology. 13 is very important to me. It's the number of the goddess energy. 11, 22, 33, these are master numbers. So it's not just 1 to 9, but that's what we're focusing on today, the manifestation cycle. And today will be all about the number 8, which is the universal year for 2024.
Yeah, I think it's really important to note that, as you said, we're speaking to 2024 as the collective consciousness, right? So everybody, depending on when they were born, et cetera, are going to have a little bit unique variation to this. And that's always a good thing to comment. So let's start. What do we have in store for us this year?
I love this year because it's all about reclaiming the power of infinite abundance. Mm-hmm. I don't think that we can really fully dive into 2024 unless we do just a quick snapshot of 2023, because the neighbor of 8 is the 7, and that 7 energy supported us to usher into this energy of 8. So 2023 was this opportunity for us to anchor into the rebirth of spirituality. I know that you felt that, your community felt that so many of us had spiritual assignments, is what I like to call them, these opportunities for growth. And unfortunately, though, for many of us, we lost a lot of things in order to help us really understand what it is that we are gaining, what we are learning from it, what we are expanding and growing from it. And it kicked a lot of our intuitive and psychic gifts online and really supported us to start to see our gifts and understand our purpose in this lifetime. So when we usher that energy into 2024 and this 8, it's like the 7 is gifting the 8 all of the lessons and all of the learning and all the growth. And the H is like, okay, I'm here to anchor it into Earth, to take all of that energy from the cosmos and really bring it into the here and now and commit ourselves to this, to become masters of what it is that we're here to do in Earth School, and to make that connection with our gifts, particularly our spiritual gifts, and connect it to the infinite abundance of that eight energy.
I love that, because I had a prophecy in 2021 that was for the next cycle, which was 2022, 2023, which was about letting go and attachments and loss. So I've spoke about that a lot here on this podcast. And I think it's really important, because sometimes we have to let things go, right, to create new space for new energy, as well as to see perhaps things that we were hanging on to that weren't really serving us, right? And noticing that, wow, when we let those go, what did we find through that, you know, quote unquote void, right? Mm-hmm. And I love how you're saying the infinite abundance coming into this year number eight, because I keep hearing the word resources, 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 and how that's going to be redefined. So yes, let's go ahead and talk about the number eight, the year eight.
I'm glad that you're bringing that up, because I'm, you know, my channel, my spiritual support team, we were talking about this, and yes, it's about reclaiming the power of infinite abundance, but you've touched on it already, that what is abundance to us? What does prosperity mean? What does wealth mean? And redefining that within our own spheres, and then connecting to that on a much deeper level. So yes, 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 for us spiritual entrepreneurs, it does mean money. If you're fully stepped into your purpose, fully stepped into your gifts, you're attracting your soulmate clients, then yes, it will connect you to a higher level of money. But it's much more than that. It's, I look at it as the infinity symbol, right? When we lay the eight on its side, understanding that flow and that momentum, and recognizing that we live in a very dichotomous world. We chose to be here on Earth School, and we can't understand the energy that we are in here on Earth unless we really learn how to traverse both sides of duality and polarity. And that there's abundance in that. There's abundance in traversing both sides and building that bridge and knowing how to go into the darker, shadowy spaces to do that work, and then bring it back into the light and sharing that light with the world, and creating a relationship with both. And so we're talking about the divine feminine and the divine masculine, the negative, the positive, right? The hot, the cold, the black, the white, and just really embracing all of it and seeing the abundance in both sides.
Yes, absolutely. I completely agree.
The eight, I can never connect to the energy of eight unless I'm calling in the energy of four as well, because I see the eight as two concentric circles, either stacked on top of each other or beside each other. And because they are equal concentric circles, I know that 5 + 3 = 8. I know that 1 + 7 = 8, but I always feel into it as 4 + 4. And so the abundance also comes through that four energy, four love systems, four love structure, four love stability. Four is sustainable energy. It's the type of energy that whenever I connect with somebody that has a lot of four energy in their energetic code, I see them as a leader. They are that person that sees opportunities where most people see problems or challenges, because they are amazing at solving problems and they are amazing at pulling all of the resources together in order to solve that problem. So you've already picked up on that one key word of resources to be able to, again, connect to the abundance that is coming through.
Well, not ironic. I guess apparently my, you know, this life is a four for me. So,
So you really feel that energy. You know that we're not meant to walk this path alone. And the eight represents discipline. The eight represents mastery and commitment and devoting ourselves to our purpose and the dharma that we chose to have with our soul in our contract in this lifetime. And so often we operate as a silo. We think that we are meant to do everything and do it alone, and we have difficulties asking for help. And a lot of that has to do with past experiences and hurt, you know, not trusting other people and experiencing betrayal and all of those losses. But now is the time for us to call all of that back in, to call all of those resources in and the abundance that we have to support us to that commitment and to that mastery that will support us to reclaim the power of all of it.
Wonderful. Yes. And another thing I've been really feeling with, you know, it's been coming in last year, but really coming even stronger this year, is really about relaxation, right? And opening up to relaxing into our gifts, relaxing into life, right? The pleasure of life, like what life is truly bringing us, rather than always trying to push our way somewhere else. And that's definitely been one of my lessons in this last year, and really feeling the power of what happens when we just relax into, like the beauty of this moment and what life is really bringing me, is it really feels abundant.
Mm-hmm. It really does. It's a simple shift, right? Of rather than reacting, coming from this powerful place of understanding that this is all happening for us, not to us. And there's opportunities within that for that growth and expansion. And another thing that you mentioned that is oh so true for this eight energy, it wants us to play. It wants us to have fun. It wants us to connect with the things that really bring us joy. And so I've encouraged so many people in my community as part of their soulful strategy for 2024 to incorporate more play and to really connect to the activities and the things that you love doing as a child and seeing how that can play a role in the abundance that you call in into the here and now. It was my therapist that did me a great service by asking me, what did you love to play as a child? I remember the conversation was rooted around my fear of starting my own business. And I had started it as a side hustle. And I said, I'm really afraid that I'm going to spend all this time and energy and effort and it's wasted because it's not my purpose. It's not what I'm meant to be doing. And her response was, what did you love to do as a child? And I was like, what does that have to do with anything? But in the response, I said, well, I loved writing and illustrating books, and I loved selling my grandma's buttons from her sewing, room. I had my little cash register out. I used to pull my chalkboard out with all of my stuffies, my Cabbage Patch dolls, and I would teach them things. And
I did the same thing.
It was so fun. And I would climb trees, and she was like, so let me get this straight. You loved playing entrepreneur and you taught people things and you loved like creating and writing books. She goes, I'm pretty sure you're on track for your soul's purpose. And I had never really thought of it that way, that there was this huge connection of what did we naturally gravitate to as a child? And I think more of us, especially after the last few years, we really do need and want more fun in our life. We want more playtime in our life. And if we can connect that to abundance, then why not, right?
I love how you bring play in as just activities that you enjoyed doing as a child. Because I think a lot of times, even just the idea or the concept of being playful or bringing more play into life eludes a lot of humans, eludes a lot of adults, right? So I love how you just bring it back to, because I was the same way. I love to climb trees. I used to pretend that I was like a newscaster and I would sit there and like talk like I was presenting. And I used to teach all my stuffed animals and I wrote a lot. And so when I look at that, and I also played a business, I would write checks and I would do all these like transactions. So that's hilarious. I love that. My crown is itching like crazy.
I love it. Right.
It's wonderful.
And so no wonder you love what it is that you do. Of course you do. And of course you're phenomenal at it, because to you, it's play. And whenever it feels like work, we just have to lean back into the playful aspects of it and remind ourselves that this is my dharma and I'm aligning with it. And if I'm not having fun, that's on me to incorporate more fun or to change the game.
Yeah.
Or to choose to play a different game.
Yeah, I really feel like we're being offered, you know, the opportunity. I mean, for those of us who own businesses, okay, maybe we're, you know, already headed down this road. But even people who aren't running their own business, I feel like we're still being offered a way to recreate our lives that is really of pleasure, that is serving us in a way that is delightful and delicious and enjoyable, right? Rather than that old paradigm. And to me, it's very old and it's already out. It's been out for years. But that old paradigm of work your ass into the ground, then take a vacation to go away, to escape your reality, spend most of your time trying to relax until you finally relax, and then you got to come back to work and grind again. And it's just a complete flip, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It really is. Even people, if somebody's listening to this and they're like, well, I don't have my business and I don't understand what play means for me, there's an opportunity for you to shift your energy, to set stronger boundaries so you can commit and create discipline and mastery with play again. There's so many clients that I work with that they don't have their own business. They're in a career, but that career doesn't fulfill them or doesn't bring them joy. So there's opportunities there to make shifts. But before they do that, we talk about what they're doing in their life, what they're doing to bring joy into their life, so that way they can get clarity on what their next steps are, because clarity doesn't come through thought. It comes through experience. It comes through action. It comes through doing. And so we often don't know what that next step is unless we're experimenting. And if we're experimenting, well, we might as well try and experiment with some things that are going to bring us joy, right? That are going to create a lot more fun. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So do year eights bring challenges? And if so, what are those challenges?
They absolutely do. I feel the eight energy. So when we consider mastery, commitment, discipline, so on the flip side of that, there can be a lot of overwhelm if we get too many steps ahead rather than being right here in the present moment. The eight loves momentum. It represents flow. And so on the low side of eight, sometimes we can feel really stuck. And when we're stuck, it's because, again, we're not learning how to play with both sides of duality and polarity. So an example could be a conflict that you've experienced and not wanting to step into that difficult conversation in order to end, close, complete, move forward in the conflict. That hesitation of moving into those ickier, darker, not so great places, the negative places. And that can cause a lot of energetic leaks. It can cause a lot of overwhelm. It can cause us to stay stuck in the past rather than moving forward and growing within the relationship. The other side of it as well is, because it's linked to abundance, is scarcity mindset. I do believe, well, one of my number one predictions for this year is that scarcity mindset will start to dissipate and more people will come online with the thought and the feeling and take inspired action from this place of I am enough and there is enough. Rather than competing, there will be more community and more collaborations and more people wanting to value and honor unity as a way forward together.
Yeah. And one of the other things around the word resources that I've really been feeling, and I alluded to it, but wants to come in again, is again, redefining what resources are, right? Because sometimes we feel like I'll bring in an example. Sometimes I'm like, well, I don't really have the money to spend on that, but I just call it in, you know, to my higher self. Well, if it's here to serve me and if it's here to serve the higher good for all, like just bring it in. And it's amazing how many like free resources or things that'll line up that'll achieve exactly what I was wanting to do, but I didn't have the quote unquote, you know, financial resource to get it. But the resource was there, right? So sometimes I feel like, and I feel this very strongly for 2024, is the remembrance that that resource exists. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we see only one way to achieve it or to get it or to acquire it or to whatever it is, right? And if we just kind of sit back and breathe into our bodies and relax and ask, then it'll be brought to us, especially if it truly is in alignment for our purpose.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. A couple of the soulful strategies that I recommend for 2024, one of them is learn how to manifest like a boss. And another one that made me laugh, my spiritual support team has a really great sense of humor like me. They can be sarcastic as well. But they said, more yin and less yangin. And I said, say what? They said, exactly as that, more yin and less yangin. So we're incorporating a lot more play. And so it's reminding people that we can have fun by leaning into that feminine energy. And that's another thing that is often difficult for people to understand. Well, what is feminine energy? It's just the being rather than the doing. And so does that mean that I do nothing? Yes and no. There's an opportunity for us to learn really what it means to connect to that feminine energy and create a better relationship with the masculine. Again, going back to the polarity and the duality of the eight, in order to manifest, to recognize that manifesting isn't what we've been taught, that it is incorporating our thoughts and our feelings and our inspired action in order to create our reality. But we don't always have to be doing something about it. Just sitting in that energy and having that intention, feeling into it. And the inspired action can be something as simple as a prayer or setting an intention or pulling an oracle card or going to the beach that day and earthing and putting your bare feet in the sand and listening to the ocean waves. That can be your inspired action that calls in the resource that you're seeking.
Yes, because the feminine is indirect, right? So sometimes we think we got to go this direction and she's like, no, we're headed over here, you know, 180 degrees the other way. And also the thing that I've really learned about the feminine is it's a lot about space and time. You know, creation needs time, not so much time as in linear time, but spaciousness to be created. And sometimes, you know, like let's say, you know, like being pregnant, right? It can oftentimes appear like nothing's really happening, but of course there's a lot happening, right? Yeah. So sometimes it's just about like going and having fun and playing because a lot is actually going on. A lot is incubating and being created. We just need to give it that space for it to continue that process.
I agree. I just learned about something that I think you'll appreciate in your audience as well. And it's called Hercle Dirkle or Hercle Dirkley. And it's a Scottish term for lounging around in bed well after you have woken up. And how fun is that to just say Hercle Dirkle? What are you doing? Hercle Dirkling, just hanging out, doing nothing, whatever, in my bed. And I should get up, or I could get up, but I don't want to. I want to stay in bed. And it's a fun way of connecting to that spaciousness that you talk about. The Hercle Dirkle.
That's a really fun term. I like that.
Right.
So anything else that we can kind of expect from an 8 year and how it presents itself to us? Is it unique? Like, is this, like, I don't know about numerology because, you know, like Chinese astrology, there's the year of the dragon, but it's a, you know, it's a water dragon or wood dragon. Mm-hmm. So is there something like that with numerology as well?
How I work with numerology is intuitive, and I definitely incorporate other energetic layers. And you also commented on it at the beginning of this call that it depends on our own personal energetic code, how we're going to experience this 8 energy year. So I am keeping it very high level. The soulful strategies that I suggest in the full 2024 energy forecast, they are things that will support everybody regardless of their energetic code, but how we experience it will all be very different. It's my personal year 4 that I'm moving into. So I'm working with 4-8 energy, which they are great at working together. I just moved out of, or I'm moving out of, a personal 3-7. And I looked back at other times, points in my life when I experienced 3-7 energy, and people pass away during that time for me. But that's not what everybody experiences. So when I look at this year for myself, this high level invitation for systems and organization and structures, and to step into my leadership and then bring that into mastery and commitment and discipline and devotion, I feel like this is my year. Like I'm going to be on fire. If it's somebody's, you know, personal 1 energy year, they're going to be forging a new path in terms of mastery. They could be starting at the beginning of their manifestation cycle. I also connected the 8 energy in my full forecast to the wood dragon energy that we're experiencing. And one of the predictions that I have for this year is this sense and this call to burn it all down. It's typically a 9 energy. The 9 is where we complete things, release, let go, forgive, move on, wrap things up. But when we're connecting the 8 with that dragon energy and a wood dragon, there is this invitation, or we'll feel this heart spark again as we step into commitment of something, that in order to really fully commit and discipline ourselves and create focus and intention, that there's a lot of burning down of things that no longer serve us, or that are no longer in alignment with our values, that are going to be coupled with that as well.
Yeah, that makes sense when you speak about values and kind of what we're creating for 2024. Are there any particular values, or, you know, again, on more of the collective side of things that you're really feeling? I know you mentioned scarcity, right? That would be a value that's headed out, that's being burned down.
Yes. Generosity. I feel that perhaps generosity is something that should always be a part of our soulful plan. But this year in particular, and again, as we come online with a stronger understanding of the abundance and the resources and all of the wealth and prosperity that's already in our life, then it won't feel so challenging to give, because we will be coming from a place of a full cup rather than an empty cup. We'll be coming from a place of love rather than fear. And so generosity, I feel, for 2024 will be one of the top values. And as well will be community. So it will be focused generosity for communities that have shared and aligned values as well. And it's very simple to incorporate this step by step. This conversation with you is an example of generous community. Just having a conscious conversation. Right now it's one-to-one. We know that it's going to connect to a lot of other people, but the wisdom that we're sharing and the love that we're sharing and the gifts that we're giving to the community is something that within this 30, 45 minute container could cause a massive ripple effect in somebody else's life that helps them reclaim the power of their infinite abundance. So recognizing that there isn't anything that's too small to give, that it doesn't have to be big. And to bring it back to something that we both keep feeling called to talk about, resourceful, there's a lot of ways that we can give. There's a lot of different ways that we can give.
Yeah, I love how you're bringing this up, because I've been really feeling this as well. And what comes through with generosity for the audience is, you know, it's oftentimes really rooted in the moment, isn't it? Because sometimes you'll be somewhere and you'll just see somebody that maybe needs a hand or might just need a smile. You know, like maybe you just feel or sense that they're having a rough day and it's a stranger, and you just gift them that smile and it shifts their day. Or, you know, you're pulling out and you gift somebody the right of way. You know, it's like these very little things that in the moment you just feel all of a sudden called to do, that, like you said, there's never anything that's too small, because in that moment, that one little action could have been exactly what shifted that person's day, or whatever it was that they needed. And it's huge, the ripple effect that that can have, right? Because that can totally shift their day. And then, you know, I think it was a show I just was watching the other day that, like, no good deed, it always creates a ripple effect. When you give a good deed, the good deed ripples. And it's such an important thing for us to remember. Mm-hmm. One of the things I've noticed is back in like 2019, 2020, I feel like our collective was going through, especially in the online business industry, we were going through a lot of like moving out the martyr, right? And so the martyr is when we're giving from that empty cup, right? So we're not filling up our cup first, and we're still over giving because we believe that we're not unworthy. That we're unworthy to receive and to fill our cup up first, right? Where I feel like we're moving now is from the cup overfloweth. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, for instance, for me, I'm giving a lot more in my business and in my community, but it feels completely different than the space I was in 2018 because of that shift. And I wanted to make and point out that subtle difference, that there's a difference between martyrism and real true generosity. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because again, we're connecting with that feminine. So we're bringing it back to duality and polarity, that we used to give. And so it's okay for us to have boundaries, and it's okay for us to fill up our cup, because then when we do give, it doesn't feel like it's draining, as you said, that it's not coming from this place of martyrdom, but it's coming from this true, genuine place of generosity and wanting to give. And it's also creating this beautiful energetic bubble, again, for us to be very intentional with who and how we are giving.
Yes,
in a way
absolutely.
That creates karma, that creates a ripple effect for ourselves as well. Excuse me. And in doing so, it creates a completion of karma, because we are completing old cycles that no longer serve us.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So with numerology, a kind of similar question in the context of, you know, do you have, you know, is there something throughout the year, kind of a pivot point, or are you feeling a shift in energy halfway through the year? Is there anything else you want to say kind of throughout the, because really, honestly, a year is kind of a long time.
It is.
A lot happens in a year. I always feel like it's been like 3 or 4 years, because so much changes for me in a year.
Mm-hmm. January probably felt off to many people because of the collective belief that it's a new year, even though it's not really. I know I'm going to be talking a lot more about that in 2024. I feel that we actually have 13 months, and the last month of the year is March. Add in, though, okay, it's a collective belief. We believe that there was a new year. We believe there was a shift, but we started in a 9 energy month. So we started the year off at the end of a manifestation cycle. So many people in the month of January didn't feel ready to move forward with that new energy because we were still clearing out some of 2023. Now, November 2023 was a 9 energy month as well. So basically, if that work wasn't done in November, then there was an invitation in January to actually do that work or to go deeper with that work. February is a 1 energy, so there's that new energy coming in that does align with the Chinese New Year, February 10th, with that new moon energy when the dragon comes in. And then we have spring. For me, I always thought that the new year was meant to be springtime. It made more sense, but I also felt that I'm a little bit biased because I'm born at the end of March. I'm an Aries. And so that is, you know, technically the beginning of the zodiac cycle, depending on what belief system you have with astrology. So February is kind of the new year. And then we have this 2 energy in March. So this is when the forging of new paths, setting new goals, anchoring into new intentions, aligning with our heart and our values will start to come more online. And then in March, we'll start connecting our ideas with the resources and the communities and the partnerships and the collaborations to actually move things forward. And then in April, expand those ideas and call in even more abundance in order to get them online. Now, which month is it? Is it September? So we have February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. Yeah, just wanted to double check that September is an 8 energy month. So it's an 8 energy year and an 8 energy month. So it's an amplification. It's a portal. I also believe that the 8-8 portal in August, because we're in an 8 energy year, there's going to be another amplification of this 8 energy as well. So in terms of the collective, then these are beautiful pockets of time to dive deeper and develop a stronger relationship with that 8 energy, because more of it's going to be showing up. Yeah, I would say that's one of the biggest ones to really pay attention to. Not that the other months aren't important, but I know that I'll be doing things a little bit differently, and I'll be scheduling and launching things closer around August, around that 888 portal, and then also in the month of September as well to really capitalize on it.
Mm, that's delicious. I mean, I love August. I'm a Libra, but I have a lot of Leo. So August always, I just have so much fire come August. I mean, already in June, July, I'm revving up. And then August is just such a powerful and potent month for me. And then it's interesting because then September comes. And this year, you know, that's when Pluto goes back into Capricorn. So we'll kind of have that hit from the 8 and then kind of have that reflection time. So that'll be very interesting.
Mm-hmm. It will. I think it's going to be a fantastic year in the collective. Yeah. I do know and feel that there's still going to be some weird, icky, crunchy things that are going to come to light. Some things that don't make sense. Some things that do make sense and will feel into the truth of it. And the truth of the secrecy or the lives, the lies that have been being withheld in the matrix. But overall, it's a really high vibrational year because, again, more people are coming online with their own personal dharma. And when we do that, we come into this place of no longer wanting to accept anything except for the truth. And feeling this call to find out the truth, to find our truth, to speak our truth, to be more visible. 2023 kicked that off for us. And then I do feel that that will continue on in 2024. So it's going to be really interesting in a lot of ways, especially when we couple it in with that dragon energy and burning things down. But it's going to be a lot of fun as well.
I think it's really important to mention that because I do believe also that there's going to be a lot of kind of weirdness in the collective. There's going to be, you know, potentially, you know, some challenging things to witness or experience. However, I also believe that, you know, if we are connected to our own personal truth and anchored in ourselves, we're able to let those things move through our space, right? And so a reminder for the audience, you know, that all of that is continuing to move through, right? So really allowing it, just like we're talking about in 2023, of letting go and letting things go, just continue to let the things go that you don't align with anymore, that don't feel like truth with you anymore, that, you know, just don't resonate with you. And so if you're hearing things that are happening in the collective and that's what you're feeling, just let it go, let it move through the collective.
Mm-hmm. That's our one purpose. Everybody that comes into my world, that's what they work with me. That's the number one question they have. What's my purpose? And we have a collective purpose and we have individual purposes. And as a collective, our purpose is to transmute energy. And so anything that comes our way that is from a low vibrational place, it's not meant to be judged or criticized or labeled bad. It's meant to be experienced and it's meant to be transmuted. And I love how you are planting that seed to allow those things to come into our existence, but to just as quickly let them go if it's not serving us anymore. I think it's really important. I'm a big believer in having a heart compass, choosing a word or a couple of words that are connected to the intelligence of our heart and using that as a catalyst, as a tool to strengthen our intuition. So when something does come into our sphere, we can filter it through that lens. Is this supporting me to reclaim the power of infinite abundance? Yes or no? And keeping it that simple. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love how you just made that real direct question, right? And you'll have the answer regardless to the audience again of, you know, whether you feel like you're connected to your higher self, you know, or not. If you ask that question, you will have the answer. And I recommend you say it out loud, you know, if you're a little bit uncertain, like ask the question out loud and then just trust that first hit that you get, you know, because you will, you'll get the answer right away.
Mm-hmm. Is this fear or is this love? Mm-hmm. We get to keep it simple. We get to make it simple if we want to.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So any other things about 2024 that you think is helpful for people to know?
Hmm. I just asked, is there anything that I've already said that we really need to overemphasize or invite them to lean into? And it was like a big push when I thought of scarcity. They were like, tell them to lean into that. This, the invitation to remember that you are enough and there is enough. You are enough and there is enough. So if there is a focus or an intention that you're unclear of in this year, if we can work towards that as a collective of remembering, as we've just been bombarded with a lot of scarcity in the last few years, as we've been bombarded with a lot of limiting beliefs, things like recessions and job losses, et cetera, relationships ending, to remember that there is enough and we are enough, and to rebuild your relationship with abundance, what it means to you, what wealth means, prosperity, what resources mean, and how it's already showing up in our lives, and to really connect it with gratitude. A simple practice of expressing what we're grateful for before each meal can have a massive ripple effect. Complimenting somebody or sharing appreciation for something kind that another person did can have a massive ripple effect and remind us how much we actually do have.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I think one of a great way to look at scarcity and abundance is, you know, when we think about having all the money in the world, our perspective shifts, right? Because all of a sudden we're not worried about money. And like, if you had all the money in the world, what would you do? And that's going to really show you kind of what we were talking about before with the childlike energy of where you really would play. And it also shows you what abundance truly means to you. Mm-hmm. Because if you got rid of the conversation of money, you would explore, you would create a different type of wealth for yourself. You know, so some people that's travel, some people that's creating, you know, most people it has something to do with connection of people, right? Like family, friends, you know, whatever that means in the terms of people and creating those relationships and spending more time with those people. And I find it's really valuable to play with that. Because absolutely, you know, money is really the last form of wealth. Mm-hmm. And when we switch it around, where the abundance becomes more apparent, the abundance we already have in our life. Like, okay, maybe I don't have $1 million, but wow, I have some really amazing friendships and connections that really fuel me and nurture me. And then if we really point our awareness at those spaces of abundance and acknowledge that abundance, that energy flows through us, doesn't it? Because abundance is flow. And if we're focused on scarcity, what we don't have, we're locking it down, we're holding it, we're creating tension and restriction. Whereas if we're focusing on, oh, look at, I have so much, it's overflowing here, then it literally is so much and overflows. And that means it goes into the other aspects of our reality as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's important to be very mindful of the addictions that can be attached to abundance.
Yes.
And prosperity and wealth. And this is something that could potentially come through for many people in 2024 is the eight's a mirror. So it it will mirror if we have addictions, and addictions can show up in a variety of different ways. But especially, again, as Dharma is coming into alignment, as we're understanding our purpose and we're connecting it to abundance, many of us can move into that workaholic energy. And so mm-hmm. be mindful of that. Be mindful of the addictions that could be at play and the things that we are maybe overly obsessed about or hyper-focused on, and ensure that we are approaching abundance and reclaiming the power of abundance from a very holistic perspective mm-hmm. and not just in one area of our lives, but in all aspects of our life, in terms of our creativity and our relationships and the spaces that we occupy. And yes, in the career and the opportunities, but in our spiritual abundance as well, in our soul contract and our purpose. There's a lot of different aspects of our life that abundance can come through, and that we can express that abundance and that generosity.
Yeah, I feel like that message of addiction was really important as well. So mm-hmm. thank you for bringing that forward. Mm-hmm. So Anne-Marie, how can people find you and connect to you?
My website is annemariemckenzie.com. I have all my social handles on there. All of my social handles, though, are annemariemckenzie13. I have gifted your audience two things that will be really supportive, that can teach them a lot more about numerology. One is, what's your energetic code? So it's a simple calculation, so you can understand what your ruling number is and begin to create a relationship with your ruling number. And then also the full 2024 energy forecast and predictions. So there's a replay of that. And there's also an ebook that gives highlights, soulful strategies, and some soul inquiry questions for you to journal about, so that way you can align with this energy and play with it in 2024.
Yay, perfect. So yes, we will have that in the show notes for everybody to connect to, and definitely do that, right? So you can have that forecast and you can find out your number, and you can just deepen into this conversation with the universe about this year. What is it going to bring you, and how can you play this game in a little bit more groundedness, alignment, and per truth, right? Because that's ultimately, we're here to play the game. We're here to create an experience. And when we have deeper awareness, then we get to play the game on subtler levels of creation. So absolutely check out those free gifts and reach out to Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie, thank you so much for being here with me today. It was just such a wonderful conversation.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
So fellow ecstatics, thank you so much for being here with us today. You as the audience is so important to us, and we're really grateful for all that you do and showing up to receive this information. You know, it's all an impact. It all has a ripple effect, as we were mentioning before. So you listening to this, your awareness of it already is expanding that ripple, and we're super grateful for you. Remember that every Tuesday is a solo episode and every Thursday are the guest episodes, and I can't wait to see you next week. Much love to you all.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.